Before we go any further, let me just make sure that you're very clear about the decision you've made. Now, this is important, so listen very closely. There are many, many kids who go forward at invitation time because their friends wanted them to go forward, or because maybe some other people, maybe their parents or maybe the preacher or some well-meaning people urged them to go forward, and so they went forward. Now, just in case you don't understand what I mean by that term going forward or to go forward, let me briefly explain it to you. It's the custom in many, many churches when the pastor finishes preaching the message, at the end of the message, he invites people to leave their seats and come down to the front of the church. We call it the altar. And they come down to indicate or show that they have made a decision for Jesus Christ. That's supposed to be what going forward means. But the point I'm trying to make here is there are many, many people, not just children, but adults, who go forward at the end of the message. But if you ask them why did they go forward, they don't really know. And if you ask them what happened, they don't really know. So it's not a matter of just going forward. A lot of people go forward at an invitation and then later look back and realize that nothing really happened. They just went forward. You see, the important thing is what's happening on the inside of you, what's happening in your heart. Becoming a Christian is not complicated at all. It's very, very simple. In fact, Jesus warned those of us who are adults that we couldn't come into his kingdom. We couldn't be a Christian unless we're willing to be like a little child. It's not complicated. It's simple. And as a kid, you can understand all you need to know to become a Christian. Don't think it's complicated. But it is important that it be real, that it be from your heart, and that it not be just something that you're doing because someone else wanted you to do it, and you don't really understand what you've done, and you don't really understand why you've done it. So let me remind you of just a few of the very, very important things you need to understand in order to be a true Christian. First of all, if I were to ask you what's the most important book that's ever been written, what would you say? Well, I hope your answer was the Bible. And obviously it is the most important book that's ever been written. There have been more Bibles published and printed, and more people read the Bible through the history of books than any other book. Not only that, but there are many, many millions of people who point to the Bible as the book that changed their lives forever. The reason it's the most important book is because it's God's book. It's a book that God has given us that is basically His word to us. The Bible is God's word. The Bible is God speaking to us the truth that we need to understand. Now, if I ask you who is the most important person we read about in the Bible, how would you answer that one? Well, I hope your answer was the Lord Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, we read about Jesus coming to earth and being born as a little baby. You may remember the Christmas story that we read every Christmas, and you probably enjoy hearing the Christmas story. All of us do. But you need to understand that Jesus didn't begin as a little baby there in Bethlehem. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is really God. Jesus is God the Son. And that means that from eternity past, He has always been alive. No matter how far back you go in time, you can't get to a time when Jesus wasn't alive. He's always lived. He's always existed. He's eternal because He's God. Now, there's something else you need to understand, and that is when God created man so that He could have fellowship with us, God wanted to have us as His friends, as part of His family, man chose to sin against God. You remember the story of Adam and Eve. They chose to do what God told them not to do. They sinned. And since then, every one of us is a sinner. We've all sinned. You know, every one of us has been guilty of lying. We've all lost our temper. We've all gotten irritated. We've all had bad attitudes. That includes you. Includes me. All of us have sinned. And the Bible teaches because of that sin, none of us is good enough to go to heaven. But God knew what we were going to be like from the very beginning. So He had a plan from the very beginning. And His plan was to become a man. The Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, became a human being like us. Except He didn't have sin in Him. And He never did sin. The Bible says He was tempted like we are, but He didn't sin. He didn't give in, not even once. And so when He went to the cross and died on the cross, He didn't die because He deserved to die. He's the only human being who ever lived who really didn't deserve to die. He was totally and perfectly innocent. But He died anyway to pay for our sins, the Bible says. He paid the price, the death penalty, that all of us deserve, so that we could be saved, so that we could have eternal life, so that we could be part of God's family, so that we could have our sins forgiven. Jesus did that for us. He loved us enough to die for us. But it didn't stop there. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. But because He did not have any sin of His own, death couldn't keep Him down. And the Bible says He rose again from the dead on the third day, and He lives forever. And when He rose from the dead, He basically was teaching us that He had power over death, and that He would give us life over death so that death couldn't hurt us anymore. We can live forever. We have to go through physical death, but it's just a painful passing through onto a more wonderful life with Him forever and ever. Now, understand this. Just because Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean that everybody gets to have eternal life automatically. The Bible teaches that we must respond to Him. We must repent of our sin, which means we must tell Him we're sorry for our sin, admit that we've done wrong, acknowledge to Him that we've done things we shouldn't have done and that we don't like it. We hate sin. We want to be forgiven of our sin. And then trust Him and what He did for us on the cross to pay for that sin, inviting Him into our life. The Bible says, to as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to be the children of God. That is, when we ask Him to come into our life, when we receive Him into our life and mean it, then He will make us children of God. He will forgive us our sin, and He'll give us eternal life. Let me say one more thing about that. When you invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, He doesn't just come into your life to be there. He'll be there all right, but He comes into your life when you want Him to take charge of your life. He comes into your life to be what we call the Lord. That means the boss. That means we want to live our lives for Him. We want to live our lives the way He wants us to live our lives. And really, that only makes sense. He's the one that made us, and He's the one that loves us more than anybody. He knows what's best for us. Why wouldn't we want to live for Him? It's the only real way to live, is to live for Christ. When you receive Him, when you let Him come into your life, He comes in to take charge. Now, I said all of that to say this. I'm trusting and hoping as you listen to this that that's the decision you have already made, that you've already asked Jesus to come into your life. But if for some reason you have not, and as you listen to this, you realize, you know, I really didn't ask Jesus to come in. I just went forward. Well, let me tell you what you can do. Right now, you can pray with me and ask Jesus to come into your heart right now. You don't have to be in church. He doesn't care where you are. All He's interested in is your heart. So if you'll ask Him to come into your heart right now, if you haven't done it before, you can do it now, and He will keep His word, and He will come into your heart. Here's what you need to do. You need to pray a prayer, sort of like what I'm going to pray right now, and you need to mean it. These aren't magic words. Don't misunderstand. We're not talking about just saying some words that are magic that will cause everything to change. We're talking about something that happens in your heart, something that you mean from your heart. But if you pray with me and mean these words, then I can promise you Jesus will come into your heart. He will forgive your sin. He will give you eternal life. And you'll be a Christian. You'll be one of His children forever and ever. So if you want to pray that prayer with me, just pray with me right now. You can just repeat these words out loud. You don't even have to say it out loud. You just have to mean it in your heart. But I would encourage you to pray it out loud, because there's something about speaking the words with your own mouth that helps seal your commitment to Jesus. So pray something like this. Lord Jesus, just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to pay for my sin. I admit that I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. Help me to be the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for forgiving my sin, and thank you for giving me the gift of eternal life. Now, if you prayed that prayer in your heart and you meant it, I can promise you on the authority of God's Word, the Bible, and He never lies, that Jesus Christ is in your heart. He's living in you. He'll never leave you. And you have eternal life. It's the most important decision you can ever make.